أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللانة الدامة الباقي لعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، Dear sisters and brothers in Iman, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is the 29th of January, which is the fourth anniversary of the attack on the Quebec City Mosque, an incident in which a lone shooter killed six worshippers and injured five others. In that incident, 17 children lost their fathers, six wives lost their husbands, and many lives were changed forever. The federal government has announced that January 29th will become a national day of remembrance for the 2017 Quebec City Mosque attack in a move to honor the victims of that day and also to express solidarity with the survivors. More importantly, this day will also be used to promote action against Islamophobia. In his statement, Mr. Steve Gilbelot, the Minister of Canadian Heritage, wrote, "Islamophobia is a concrete and daily reality for Muslim communities everywhere. We have an obligation to remember the victims and a responsibility to combat discrimination and continue to build a more inclusive Canada." He further said, "This tragedy reminds us of the urgency to stand up against these hateful acts and online radicalization. We pray for the victims, and especially for their families who are still going through a very difficult time in losing their dear and near ones." This action of the federal government in recognizing the tragedy of the Muslims in Quebec and in Canada in general, and the problem of Islamophobia, was a result of the hard work of many Muslim groups, especially the National Council of Canadian Muslims. It was their persistence that brought about this recognition. This reaffirms my constant message that we, as a Muslim community in Canada, must engage with the socio-political system of Canada in order to have our voice in matters that concern Muslim affairs and also for the rights of the minorities. No one says that the system is Islamic or fully just, but there is more harm in isolating ourselves and not having our voice heard when decisions are made. When you have a choice between a greater harm and a lesser harm, Aql and Sharia, reason and faith, both dictate that you choose the lesser harm over the greater harm. To put it simply, either you are seated at the table or on the menu. If you look at the era of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wassalam, you will see that most of them lived during the reigns of tyrant rulers. Many of these companions would ask them permissions to work with such governments. In most cases, the imams would forbid them to become part of an oppressive regime because Islam does not allow you to become a tool of injustice and oppression against others. However, there are quite a few examples of the companions who were allowed by the imams of their time to work with the governments. The biographies of the narrators and the companions shows many, many names of the companions of the sixth Imam, the seventh Imam, the eighth Imam, and the tenth Imam, who actually worked for the governments. And they did that according to the permission that they sought from the Imam of their times. By studying the two different guidelines from the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, our jurists have concluded that it is better to avoid such line of work. But if circumstances demand that you get involved, then do so with the intention of defending and supporting your people. With such an intention, your involvement would be permissible. So your intention should not be just your own career building process. Rather, it should be serving the community and the people in general. Our jurists have coined an interesting phrase to reflect this perspective, where it says, كَفَّارَةُ عَمَلِ السُّلْطَانِ إِعَانَةُ الْإِخْوَانِ. The penalty of working for an unjust ruler is to help the brethren in faith. So keep that in mind, that yes, we have to get involved, but our motive and intention should be very clear. It should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to promote justice and fairness for the Muslims and the minorities in general. Ali bin Yaqtin is a famous example among the companions of our imams. He actually worked as a minister under the government of Harun Rashid. He only accepted the post after repeatedly asking the permission from Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam. Initially, Imam would refuse, but a point came where the pressure on Ali bin Yaqtin increased from Harun Rashid that Imam allowed him with the provision and the condition that I mentioned earlier. Our situation is not like that of Ali bin Yaqtin, nor is our government here in Canada like that of Harun Rashid. We have much to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the safety, the freedom, and the opportunities in this land. Ali bin Yaqtin, interestingly, narrates a statement from the seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam, who said, "Inna lillahi azza wa jalla ma'a sultan awliya'a yadfa'u bihim an awliya'ihi." Verily, Almighty Allah has with the rulers some friends through whom He protects His other followers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage and wisdom to understand what is right and what is wrong and act accordingly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our land with peace and harmony, and may He keep you always under His protection and safety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the appearance of our Imam, ajalallahu ta'ala faraj al-sharif, so that we may have global peace and tranquility sooner than later. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.